I'm Tisha, along with my co-host Jen, and we are 99% Effective. And you may have noticed that we have a new logo and some new music, which we thought was great because it is springtime. So it's, you know, the flowers are coming out and it's getting greener. So I hope everyone's been enjoying their spring. Jen, how are you?
Oh, couldn't be happier. It's just absolutely beautiful. The birds are singing, the flowers are coming up, and we're looking at a warm weather wave this week.
Yeah, and I have my convertible that I bought like 2 weeks before Christmas, so I'm really getting a lot of use out of that. My little Mini Cooper, that her name is Violet Beauregard.
That is hysterical.
We name all of our cars in our house.
You look like a convertible owner.
Yes.
Now that I look at you. Yeah. That's a good thing.
So I'm really enjoying that. But I'm also enjoying that this is the first in a series that we are starting on the parent perspective. And we're going to start this series with Birth to Three, and we're going to go all the way up until people are in their 60s.
Yes. And beyond.
And beyond. Because we want just to give that parent family perspective, and hopefully that will give our listeners some good advice and some ideas and support and hope.
I agree. So to kick off our parent perspective, our guest today is Danielle Gagne, and she is a certified cruise counselor for Disney, and she's also an autism and special needs consultant. She's also an expert in the Birth to Three program because she has not one, not two, but three kids who were diagnosed with autism. So we're going to jump in feet first, and Danielle is going to tell us about her experience with Birth to Three and about her three beautiful children. So Danielle, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
I will. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I am a travel advisor that specializes in planning vacations with children of special needs. I am a music together teacher, but more importantly, I am the mother to three special needs boys, which has led me to be very involved with Birth to Three over the years. And I'm super excited to share with you what I have about what they've got, what you've done for us and what we've done since then. I'm excited to tell you about a little bit about how that worked out for us.
Wonderful.
So before we get into the questions, I just thought of this. So because your background sounds amazing in what you do. So give us the age of each of your children and then one word to describe each one.
Ooh,
oh, that's a good question.
That's a very good question. And when I got to think about that one because there are so many words on any given day. My oldest, Ronan, he is 7.5 years old. Oh, my firstborn. What do you do with that one? Oh, my goodness, my heart. Stoic and smart. Like, there is a quiet boy in the corner of the room that is taking in every little detail and can rehash it to you when he's good and ready. There's probably not a word for that. So smart, quiet, smart, studious, smart at something, whatever that word is that you can do in the morning.
Zealand, my second child, is almost 6 years old. And he is, we call him Zany Zealand. He has his own hashtag of Zealand Zingers because the stuff that comes out of that child's mouth, you wouldn't hear out of a 60-year-old man, or maybe you would. He has got so much energy. He is impulsive. He has so much zest for life that it makes you want to jump into his world and just go for the roller coaster ride. Again, not one word.
Yeah. That's okay.
My youngest Griffin is 3.5 years old. And he is such a follower in the sweetest way. He wants to please you. He wants to be just like his older brothers. He is a beautiful combination of both of them, where he's smart and rigid and very studious on what's going on, but he also has that zest for life, just like Zealand. So he's an in-between of both of them. I know that doesn't answer your question specifically, but very different
it's
children.
Exactly what I was looking for. So I think it gives us all just a great picture of
how busy she is.
And how busy you are.
There's no doubt there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just going to jump right in. What did you first notice that gave you that initial gut feeling that your first child may not be meeting his developmental milestones?
So I am in a very unique situation where I had some support built into my family without at the very beginning. I was pregnant at the same time with my sister all three times, all boys, whole nother story.
But
the reason
that's
why,
another podcast.
The reason why I mention that is because she was actually my son's pediatrician at the time of him being 2 years old.
What a resource.
Oh gosh, she's a lactation consultant. She's amazing.
But the reason why I mention that is because I started to see things which, as a first-time mom, you think are, all right, well, he's not walking yet, but that's all right, or he's not talking. But as a first-time mom, what do you know? You don't know anything. You think, right. You know, oh, my cousin walked it to one. You know, you don't do that. You just, you're on your own track. He's healthy. His heart's beating. He's eating. Like, we're, for all intents and purposes, he's healthy. It was actually my sister who pointed out that there were some quirks. And I imagine that was something that was difficult for her to share because she's his godmother, she's the aunt, and she's a pediatrician. So she's not going to just say, hey, I think your kid has any, you know, can't be easy for someone to say, but for her to quietly mention, and she did it so professionally, there are quirks, perhaps we can investigate further. There is a beautiful program called Birth to Three.
Right.
And that's how I was introduced to it. Now, I'd like to think any pediatrician would have mentioned those resources, but I was especially lucky because she was on it. That's kind of how I didn't second guess myself once she mentioned something, but I have to tell you, leading up to that point, until someone else of gravitas tells you something's going on, you're like, wait a minute, is there? And I wasn't mad about it. I was just like, ooh, what did I miss? But I kind of took it all in stride, and I was like, and she was very good about saying, what's the harm? Let's just get some eyes on it.
Yeah.
And I have really carried that through me, as you'll see, as you get to know me, that has been my mantra for my never knowing that I would need it for my subsequent children. What's the harm? Let's get some eyes on him. Let's get him evaluated and see if we can give him any support. It was really that simple for us.
Do you remember the quirks to use?
I do. I know. And I don't know if that's, you know, politically correct to use quirks, but I'm comfortable with it.
I still call my 24-year-old son quirky.
Thank you for that. Little validation goes a long way. So Ronan would speak very clearly, but in interesting phrases. It was more of someone that you'd see like an 18-month-old. You would be like, a ball. But Ronan would say, a ball, and just stare at you. Ball. But it was like he was trying to connect with you, but there were no additional words to follow. Mm-hmm. And again, you might think that's not anything. But looking back, I'm like, oh, he was just saying it in his way. One of the big ones was we called him his happy arms. He did flap his arms.
Yeah.
And it was the cutest thing, because the more excited he got, the more he would do them. And I mean, when he had like little Einsteins on, which we still watch to this day, he's almost 8 years old and he still loves it, or Daniel Tiger or something like that, he would punch like he was a cheerleader and he was just so happy. But it was interesting because he only did it when he was happy. We never saw it, you know, until later on. We didn't see the stims of being upset or overstimulated. We just saw happy arms. We literally called them that. And people actually over time changed our dialogue. Well, that's stimming. That's why he's doing this. So we're like, he has his happy arms. But as he got older, we saw them increase more and more. And that was definitely a red flag for my sister to say, okay, there's another little quirk. But it was just the way he would, we lovingly call him Zone in Ronan, because he just zones out.
Yeah, okay.
And he's fine with it. He is fine blocking you out until you get in his space and something happens that he didn't want. And then he'll have whatever words he had, he'll let you know. He could get his point across on what he wanted, but it was in very few words. And I, looking back, I think that's impressive that you can just be like, nope, I don't need you, but I'm done now. Bye. Mm-hmm. It was like, he's very straight, very much like my husband, just very straight to the point. I'm done. Don't speak when spoken to and nothing more. But when you start to see it with other kids, because as you remember, my sister has a son the same age, 12 days younger. When you start to see in your own family that there is a little bit of a shift on social interaction. And I say this now, so I don't know if this is biased, but looking back, I didn't realize how important that piece was, because I'm like, but he's walking, he's talking. At the time he ate, he does not eat now.
He's healthy.
Yeah.
He's healthy. Yeah. So as a parent, you're like, why would I worry about anything more than he's walking, he's talking, he has a friend, he likes this show, he sleeps all night. Like, what am I complaining about? But then you see at playgroups, you see him focus on this one toy, and he's focusing on the wheel. He doesn't want to know that the whole train can move.
So when he got next to his peers.
Correct. Then it became very clear for us. I'm like, all right. But again, it was still one of those not to worry. But we were already on the train. We were already on the diagnostic train of Birth to Three. But autism hadn't come up yet. You know, so when we first got introduced to Birth to Three, and that's one thing, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead right now, but one of the most beautiful things was you all have the most eloquent way of cradling a parent into what might come next. And I consider myself prepared for whatever came, even though it still can be a shock. Something very special about, okay, he meets qualifications for Birth to Three. We'll have an OT come once a week. We'll just get some skills going. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And then when they spend time with them, and then they throw it out there, would you like an autism evaluation? I'm like, oh, okay. So now my sister has pointed out quirks. She never said the word. Well, I don't know if she did. I never. I always want to ask her. I don't know if she did it because it was just not the professional thing to do. You never give a kid diagnosis over the phone. I'm like, that's a huge thing. I'd like to let people know. Just because we're looking at your kid doesn't mean we're jumping to diagnosis or anything like that. but knowing if it does come up, they will help you through the process. And so we agreed to the autism evaluation, and that's when Birth to Three really came through and kind of helped us through that process. And the minute the diagnosis became a real thing, the support came out of nowhere. It was like full support. We're going to have this many people. We had like 6 people in our house, you know, at any given time. And this is only for the first kid. We're not even at the other kids yet. There's just, it was so much, but I was like, wow, this is available. Like that's where my mind went. I was like, I cannot believe there is support out there to get us ahead of the game. And I almost feel, I could not even imagine what our life would be like if we didn't have that early intervention, again, knowing what I know now. Because I was like, I almost wished every single kid could get Birth to Three. I wish we had so much staff that we could all have a little OT once a week in our, you know, in our kids' lives. I see typical kids struggling and I'm like, oh, if you had a week of OT, you know, even for 6 weeks just to kind of teach the parent. And one of the biggest things I got out of that is how much you all can come into our home for a couple hours a week, but us as parents following through with everything you've done is what really shows the success. And when me and my husband really adopted that mentality to be like, this is what we worked on, let's work on our goals for the week and follow through, we really started to see progress. And then I actually got excited about it. And it took all of the other life of all the other stresses in the world. Yeah, they still existed, but I was like, I'm literally watching my child right before my eyes progress. I'm going to cry already. Seeing him progress right in front of us because someone said, work hard. Don't, you know, you're already working hard, work smart.
Right.
That was like the biggest. And that's what parents, we're already working so hard. Us parents are working so hard. But if someone like Birth to Three can help you work smart at the early ages, you're all going to get into this beautiful schedule and this beautiful rhythm of how to keep that going once you do hit school, once you do hit the really...
Absolutely.
It's so important that you start from the early intervention to get it started, to kind of get in a groove of how it's going to look.
I truly believe, as I mentioned, my son's 24 now, and I don't think he'd be where he is without Birth to Three.
Absolutely
without
not.
Without that early intervention.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want me to fast forward a little bit, but as it so obviously I was all over that for my additional children. And I had no idea. No one has any clue that all three of their children are going to not only get a Birth to Three qualification, but get an autism diagnosis. That was something. And it's so funny. When I was pregnant with my second, it didn't even occur to me because I was already pregnant by the time Ronan was diagnosed because they're all less than 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the other one already was on its way before a diagnosis came, but it didn't even like, oh my gosh, what about this baby?
Really?
Like it didn't even,
I'm shocked.
Well, but I can't say the same between 2 and 3.
Right.
So it was one of those, wow. I said, I did not even think about it. And he would not stop talking and still to this day does not stop talking. So it's so presenting so differently.
Yes.
We did, but again, this is so important to share with people. We did call Birth to Three because he wasn't walking at 15 months. And it was so nice that it doesn't like autism, Birth to Three. You don't have to put those synonymous with each other. Any delay of a child that might need any support in any area, you all have wonderful support for. So he ended up qualifying for some PT for a little bit, like, you know, 6 weeks or whatever, got him back. He was walking by the end of it. But he was already in the file. So we're like, all right, if you ever need us, I didn't think I was going to, you know, if you need us, but then when he started to tell these stories that went on for 20 minutes and had all of this wonderful language, but didn't have a clue what he just said.
Right.
I was like, we are not using language functionally. You are telling some wonderful stories about grandmas and spiders and pizza and have nothing to do with them. I mean, ADHD probably looked like it was all over that. But again, we're not there yet. But just this like, wow, you're talking so much. Whereas Ronan's still sitting in the corner, barely advertising that he's hungry. Mm-hmm. You're like, clearly this isn't autism. Like this isn't the same thing. And yet we're like, all right, maybe we should call them back.
Yeah. Danielle, I want to circle back to something
yes,
you said that really struck a chord with me. You said that the therapist was fantastic for you. So once you got that diagnosis, that they were just instrumental in helping you. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for our listeners to hear because there's so much, obviously, focus on the child, getting those services, making sure that they, you know, get the help that they need.
Yeah.
But clearly, you know, as a parent, we need that help too.
And it's so funny. So I, as a music together teacher, I always say it's actually not a kids class at all. It's a parents class.
Oh,
my kids, you know, the kids don't want to hear me sing. I'm not even that good. I mean, I did meet my husband in a production of Beauty and the Beast. So clearly maybe I can sing a little, but that's not what that was about. I'm there to teach them how to go just make music with their children at home. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Birth to Three, and it kind of almost in a more important way, just learning how to function with your child at home. And I get to brag about her now. I'm very, very lucky that my...
Who's her?
Reagan! Okay. Oh, my beautiful Reagan. Oh, my gosh. I love that woman. She knows it.
Is that your...
That was our Birth of Three therapist for Zealand and Griffin for my second and my third. So much, though, that when I realized I was going to be on this train again for the third time, I had her email directly. I didn't even call you guys for it. I was emailed. I said, please tell me you're still available. I said, I won't call for special treatment in terms of, I don't even know if you do this anymore. Did you move on? Did you retire? If you're at all available, what do I do? How do I get you again? And we did everything legal, I promise. We did everything, like I called, I made the appropriate, you know, everything. And we were very lucky. I don't know if she pulled strings or I don't know if parent recommendations are a thing, because she knew our family.
Right. Yeah.
And she helped, and she was so instrumental with Zealand because Zealand does not present like a typical child with autism. You might see the ADHD early on, but with the autism, she believed me. And that's where I get emotional with her because
you were validated.
I was validated. And that's what parents need.
100%.
They need to be validated. And not even if you think they're wrong. Validate that they're allowed to feel the way they feel. That's what we need. Even be like, hey, I have some strategies to help alter that for you. I have some wonderful ideas on how we can make that easier for you. But how you're feeling, we get you. We totally got
Absolutely.
It. That means more than I mean, just being like, oh, well, let's fix it. It's like, well, no, tell me that I'm heard first. And she did. And she also could see it for herself. But it made such a difference when she came in and she was like, let me help you help him. And it had very little to do with Zealand and those skills. And again, what I could use during those weeks that she was not there, she gave me enough to work with that weekend. She gave me specific goals on how, all right, so what would you do? I would say, Reagan, what would you do if that was your kid? What would you do right now? And she would model what she thought I should do. And it was teaching me way more than it was teaching Zealand because I'm the one that's with them all the time. And parents need to be taught just as much, if not more than the kids, because it just won't matter.
And I want to point out, though, I don't want to, anyone who's listening, when we say model or goals for the week, like it's not a homework assignment.
Mm-mm.
It's simple. It's what you're doing all the time anyway. And I, you know, one example is when my son was a baby and this was all new to me and I'm turning the light switch on and the therapist at the time was there and I sang it. I said, light on. And she's like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. And I was doing it naturally. So I was like, oh, okay. I'm actually doing something right. Because you do question yourself.
You do. All the time.
So it's that validation. And it's not when the therapist leaves, like you have a list of homework you have to do. They're just giving you like, do it this way when you're changing their diaper or when you're bathing them or feeding them. And it's just
works into your routine. And that's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
That's exactly. We're not trying to be like, okay, carve out 2 hours to work on this skill.
No.
You're doing a bath anyway, when you're doing feeding time anyway, try this approach.
Exactly.
And that's what it's, because that's our life.
Yes.
Some of us are literally just trying to get through a meal.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I still haven't done that successfully in 8 years as a parent. And so having them just be able to give those tips to work into your routine is what they're there for. And that means everything. And that's one reason why I have to say you guys obviously hire beautifully because the team that we've been working with forever and over the two kids, just really, really passionate people. I really applaud people that wanting to do this. But it's more important that I don't think people realize, and I wish I could just plead this to people, how important this early intervention is. It has definitely set us up for the success
Anytime
that we're feeling
I do
now.
Any kind of training or to the Birth to Three staff I've done over the years, the first thing I say is, thank you for doing what you do.
Yes.
Because it makes...
It's definitely changed our lives. And I feel like I have some family members that I might be the Birth to Three police at this point. Because I'm like, have you checked Birth to Three?
Yeah.
And they're like,
same
not. And I'm sure people have either behind my back or maybe not so much have been like, does she think everybody has autism? I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I realize that I wear that autism mom badge proudly because it is my life. So why not wear it proudly rather than be sad about the fact that I might never be a grandmother? Like, I'm not going that sad route for too long. That's not, I live there in my darkness moments. We all have our moments, but I try to pull back out for my kiddos. So if I can give you that, you know, oh, we're just struggling so much with this. They're not walking yet. They're not talking yet. I said, well, have you considered Birth to Three? And everyone's like, oh, didn't you just do this at the last birthday party with the last cousin? And I was like, well, she needed it too. Maybe. And I don't say it in that judgmental way, but it's available to you. Why not take it?
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So you're getting Birth to Three services. Mm-hmm. You're pregnant with your second child. What were you and your husband doing for yourselves? Did you reach out to other parents? Did you go to support groups? What were you doing for your self-care?
So not much at that point, but in full disclosure, I don't think we felt we needed it at that time. If you asked me that same question from second to third, when that third baby was born, even though he was very planned and very wanted and very loved, I realized my life was never going to be the same again, because at this point I had two diagnosed and one just, a baby, not knowing what that route was going to be. That actually may have been the first day that I said, oh God, if the third one gets diagnosed, I'm writing a book because I got to do something. But I remember being like, something's got to come out of this. I remember that panic. In terms of self-care, it's still a struggle, to be honest with you. My husband is incredibly supportive, but works many, many hours. He is a store director of a grocery store. So he just works. So it's not quite retail, but it is retail. You know, it's a lot of late hours. It's holidays. It's weekend. Like, we don't get weekends together. He gets two Sundays off a month and I circle them as like a family day. No, nothing's getting scheduled. And of course things still seep in. We try very hard to do that. So we do have a babysitter, but obviously I pay her very, very handsomely because she's dealing with my three children. And so it's one of those, you know, on a financial level, is it really worth going for the dinner and a movie plus the cost of the babysitter? And we just like, yeah, we'll just stay in. That's a hard one. And I do wish there was more resources for special needs parents to find that care, that you didn't have to worry about the stress of where your kids are or the financial aspect. Like, that's something I had a dream once that I should, like, I wish I could open a spa where there was a therapist in one corner where they could watch your kid for an hour and the mom could just go get a pedicure at a very reasonable price. Just, you know, because what are you going to do with your kid? Anybody can just watch our kids. So it's like, is there one place that they could have a moment or have a cup of coffee? Bring a friend, have a cup of coffee. Your child is safe with this certified individual. Like, that's always been a pipe dream.
One thing I tell parents over the years is to think outside the box of who's going to care for your kids. And we have so many great colleges in this area that, you know, so say you just need an hour to yourself to go for a walk, whatever it may be, find local colleges, Albertus Magnus, Yale. We have so many great colleges around us. So I've known so many parents over the years that do that. So there's students who are going to be speech therapists or special ed teachers who are looking to do this. So
that's really smart.
That's very, so that's very one smart. Thing I tell parents all the time, because I am a big advocate for self-care, and it doesn't have to be spending money going to dinner. It could be you and your partner, or you by yourself, or with your friends, or with your mother, just going for a walk for an hour, or just doing a picnic lunch with a friend.
Change of scenery.
And that's self-care. So if it's reading for 15 minutes, you know, or just somebody coming over while you're still in the house, but you could shut the door while they're out there with the kids and you can take a nice long hot bath, you know? So those are all like my little self-care tips.
Little details.
For any parents and for yourself that are out there, that for yourself is look out the colleges.
That's a really great idea. There's so many that are eager to learn. And so we have a wonderful program we go to for camp. It's based out of Meriden, and they have a bunch of peer mentors, and most of them are the high school kiddos at the high school that want to go into special education. And so they're the peer mentors there. I should poach one of them.
And a high school student would be ideal for you to still be in the house with the door shut. You know,
that's all you do. Just keep them alive.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. And it's I like that you said that, because I've learned in my very, very hectic, busy, crazy, beautiful life, I don't measure my life in good days and bad days. I tend to measure them more in moments. So I can't look at, oh, that was a really bad day. I take it in sections. And so I was like, wow, like this morning, my kids are having a little bit of I want mommy only, daddy doesn't exist. And I'm like, you know what? On Mondays and Tuesday mornings, daddy exists. Daddy's in charge. I got to not micromanage him and let him raise his children because he's very capable. Get them ready, get them on the bus. And the last two mornings went well. And as soon as I was leaving today, I told my husband, I was like, today went well. This morning went well. Everyone is happy. Everyone's okay. And we did okay. And so that's a success for us, because if the rest of the day goes to crap, which it's not because I'm here, you know, but even this is self-care for me. I think it's funny. My husband's like, oh, you love, like, you deal with, you know, children at your job most of the time. You know, any special needs family, you're constantly thinking of their needs. You're talking like, but I love it because it's what I know.
Well, it's what you know.
It's what I know. But
and you want to help anyone else.
Yes.
Coming up.
Exactly. And it also reminds me, it's funny, every time, like if I had a bad morning with them, because it could happen on any given day, happened three of five last week, getting ready for school. When I'm here, it reminds me why I do this. It reminds me why I love to talk to you. It reminds me why I want to keep advocating for birth to three and for any services, because they have presented me with a very different life, but it's really fun. Once I can iron out some of the kinks, and I know there's going to be kinks forever, it's a really, really fun view to have three kids that think so differently and the way their brains work. It reminds me how blessed I am to have them, even though the days are excruciating. And I won't lie about that. There are days where I was like, wow, even last night on the way home, I cried at therapy yesterday. Mm-hmm. We all three of them were at therapy last night. And I therapist asked me how I was. Why would she do that? Why would she ask how I'm doing? Like, how rude. And I don't know what happened. Cause it wasn't like it was building up. Something happened. She's like, how are you? And I looked at Zealand and how much trouble he had been having. And I just lost it right then and there. And
that's okay.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Your honesty is so raw. Like, I can feel, when you're talking.
The tears have, gone back up, four times. So, we'll see.
So
I know I talk a lot. I apologize
for that. No, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be incredibly helpful. So, I mean, and you're doing such a great job. Really, I can honestly see what your days are like right now. So thank you for sharing all this. What would some of the biggest challenges be for parents that are either starting this process or are new? What should they expect? Tell us the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So I will, again, a personal situation. My hardest situation is that there's three children with three different needs. But what I loved about, especially subsequent birth to three experiences, is the new one that came in for the second and the third, mostly Reagan, but others as well would come in and they would help me. They would help me with my individual child on what they needed, but they would also help the family dynamic. And so that's the most important thing, is you are coming into our home, not just for the child, you're coming into our home to help the whole family function. Mm-hmm. And if there were things that didn't make sense for, okay, this sounds like it was a great thing to eat at the table, but if it makes more sense for you all to cozy around a TV or, I mean, my oldest eats in his room. I'm not even going to lie about it. But other than that, if he doesn't do that, he won't eat at all.
But that's important. It's what works for you and your family.
Yes, exactly. Right. And there's a no judgment zone that comes in with that. Mm-hmm. And be like, whatever you bring to the table, they'll meet you wherever you want to meet. And I love you guys come in and say, what do you want to work on? Mm-hmm. Because right now I want to make sure my three kids will function in the same room without wanting to kill each other more than I want us to sit nicely at the table and everyone have three bites. It's not priority.
The other thing I think that's important is it's not just when you're talking to your birth to three provider, it's not just like 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. Like, what are some of the other things? Like, what's the sleep schedule like?
Yeah.
How is it them going to sleep?
How's your nighttime routine? Is bath scary for them?
Exactly.
You know, like you can pinpoint and I love that for the most part within reason, you all will try to come, hey, let me schedule my next visit around dinner time so I can just see what
love
you're doing.
That. Yeah.
And model. Like, that's just really helpful.
We did it. The OT came with us to the dentist for the first time.
Oh, see, I love that too. I know. And Reagan has come with us to music class. Speaking of merging together.
Yeah.
It was amazing because she was able to see. So I call Griffin my sensory baby. Mm-hmm. Griffin, when he's overwhelmed, he looks at me and he nuzzles me like a really intense kitty, just all over. And then he loves to be upside down. So he'll come, and I got big old thighs. He'll come and he'll put his head here and he wants me to just, and it's working on core strength, I suppose. I just hold his waist and he likes to keep his feet up in the air, on a handstand.
Yeah.
And that regulates him. He just likes to be calm that way. And I do squeezes and bear hugs. And I was like, is it me? Is it his way of being nervous or whatever? And I was trying to figure that out. And Reagan's like, let me come with you to music class. Mm-hmm. And she did it to him. Because she's comfortable with him.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Or he did it to her, rather. So I was like, okay, so it's not just me. It's whenever he's like, there's so much going on in the room, he needs to find one of his safe people and kind of just nosy up on her. I'm like, so I learned it wasn't just me, but it was his safe person.
Yeah.
So the fact that she was able to come with me on a trip like that, because that's, you never would think that they could do that, but you can.
Yes.
The biggest challenge is in terms of a new mom, a brand new mom, I urge people not to be scared of the potential diagnosis, because the biggest thing I say to a lot of people, and people either love me or hate me, better or for worse, ignoring their challenges don't make their challenges go away. If you deny the diagnosis still is. And I understand that you only need to take that diagnosis so far. I mean, I know it's a bunch of numbers that equal up criteria and it says yes or no. I get that only holds so much weight. However, if that clearly shows that he's struggling and you're like, no, he's fine. I don't want a label on him. I don't want this. I don't want that. That doesn't help the kid. It helps him in no way. And it just makes yourself feel more guilty and you just eat yourself up inside of what you should have, could have done wrong. And
embrace it. And I know that's so hard to do. I know it's so hard, especially when it hits you the third time. You're like, oh my, what did I do? Like, you kind of go, what did I eat? You know? And it's like, it's nothing to do with that. It's just the way their brains work.
Right.
And don't be scared of it. It just gives you, it opens more doors than it closes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge thing I would want them to know. Like, go through it, follow through, and go with your gut. If you don't like what was said, at least question it, because especially as professionals, you can pretty much answer any questions. Why did he do it this way, but he didn't do it that way? It's like, well, you know, it was a new environment. This was a little bit overwhelming for him. Maybe we can do it in a place where we'll practice it at home where he's comfortable. Then we'll branch out to the, you never ran out of ideas. At least with us, all of you never ran out of ideas, and you're going to keep trying. Nobody ever gives up on a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there, people are scared that, like, okay, once we're in the system, once we have a diagnosis, once we're even, he's even going to get looked at once, we're going to have that label. And I'm like, the label shouldn't be as scary as it is. And I think that's a lot of people forget. Oh, he'll grow out of it. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
He might. And you want to know what? If he does and you didn't need it, it's only going to help him. If he qualifies and you're like, wow, he met all his goals, we can age out early and can be done, you only helped him get a couple more skills. And I think people are scared of it. And I wish I could tell them not to be.
I was just going to say, you have so much phenomenal advice.
It's too much.
It's not too much. I know this is going to be hard.
Mm.
What would your number one piece of advice be?
Get the eval. Get the evaluation. Get it. Like, just get it and do with it what you will. But at least take the steps to try to help your child, because the only person that's going to suffer is your child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you will too, ultimately. Or you'll regret it when they're six, when they're seven, when they're in kindergarten. This is the best time to do it. I would regret not doing early intervention more than I would regret, like, not having my child do outpatient OT right now. He needs it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel more comfortable doing stuff now. That one piece is, like, just do it and then embrace what's coming. It will only help them. If it doesn't feel right because of your family dynamic, because it's a lot of people in your house, that's one thing. But look at the goals of your child. Look at what you want for the child in front of you. Not the child you dreamed of. Not the child, but we want to go on a hike because, you know, he hates the outdoors. Don't take him camping.
Right.
Like, I know you want to be, I know your dad, you're a hiker. I know you love baseball, but it's too loud for him. You know, I know. Look at the child and what they want. When I see my kids happy, my kids swear he loves mini golf. Like, Ronan says he's obsessed with mini golf. He's very upset that only game in town closed, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, he loves mini golf. But once he gets there, he doesn't really do a lot, but he says he loves it.
He
so we get excited.
Atmosphere.
He has one in his room. He has a whole little mini golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I embrace that. He loves, and he likes to watch basketball games. He wants headphones when you sing happy birthday, but we'll go to a basketball game with no headphones.
So you were fortunate to have a sister, right? That's your sister who's a pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not everyone has that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to say to everybody, and I, you know, if you have any, a gut feeling or anything, go to your pediatrician.
Right, that's a good start.
That's the start, and
mm-hmm.
they should be able to guide you where you need to go, because most people don't even know birth of three exists.
Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to also point out that as a parent, you can refer your own child?
Yes.
I think that's important too,
mm-hmm.
because I have run into instances where the pediatrician was like, no, I think they're okay. And if you as a gut, as a
good
gut
idea.
Feeling, because
that's 211.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
But even if you just search birth to three referral online,
mm-hmm.
you can be able to find the parent referral form. And I did actually have an acquaintance do that, because the pediatrician's like, well, they're only 18 months. I'm like, yeah, now's the time.
Yeah.
So that, and then still having trouble today at 3.5, which I wish they had called earlier, but that's a whole other story.
Right.
But in terms of a parent can on their own,
mm-hmm.
if at least with birth to three, not with every single therapy ever in life, sometimes you need a referral.
But
I do think that's important.
They call 211.
If you don't like, and also it's okay to question even your pediatrician. You're like, are you sure? This
absolutely.
Is like, you are your child's best advocate 100%. By all means. And if you don't feel like something's right, and that goes more to the parents that they're not in denial. They're like, no, something's not right. Something's not feeling
mm-hmm.
right. So keep asking, keep pushing, keep being that mama, papa bear. And so you
absolutely.
Can do it yourself if you need to. That's
so
important.
You have so much knowledge. So, and you mentioned you're writing a book.
I am.
Okay.
I made a joke that as soon as I had my third child, it was really an offhand comment. If the third one gets diagnosed, I'm writing a book. It was so offhand. I have always loved writing. Anytime I do public speaking, I tend to rhyme. If I have the speech, I rhyme it. Like any maid of honor speech I've ever done is a rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
I did my 20-minute presentation in high school at Lemon Hall in a rhyme. Like, I love to do the public speaking, and I was like, I love to write. I love to
I've always wanted some kind of platform. This was not the plan at all.
Right.
And I never wanted to do it at the expense of my children. But I was like, I don't know how many families out there back to back to back have gone through what we've gone through. And the biggest question I get all the time is, are you sure all three have autism?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, yeah. I didn't make it up. Okay. It doesn't make my life easier. I do have a handicap pass to keep them alive, but I don't get perks for having yeah. another one on the frequent flyer program. Like I've had plenty of funny comments for that. I have also plenty just exhausting comments
mm-hmm.
when they're like, but you know, Ronan clearly does, but Zealand's talking fine. They're like,
so much more than that.
I guess in a way I was almost sick of answering the question. And I will still gladly answer it to anybody that needs the awareness. I am writing a book right now. It's in its final stages of editing. I think people need to hear chronologically what we went through mm-hmm. and how it varied with each kid. I briefly talk about my pregnancies just so people know that what I did. So I didn't necessarily do anything
right,
to make this
right.
happen. The births were pretty, I didn't go into too much detail, but I was like, nope, no epidural here. Yeah, this didn't happen. All three were tongue tied. All three had acid reflux. So maybe there's a genetic component, but
right.
my book is not about why this happened. My book is that it did happen and what we're doing now to lead a successful life for the three of them.
Do you have a title for the book yet?
It's a working title. I'll go ahead and share it with you.
I
have not said it out loud. And I will just put that, you know, unless, you know, my editor or publisher tells me, which is me, tells me, right now the working title is, I want to make sure I don't mess it up because I want to say it perfectly. Same roots, different wings.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Because they all came from the same tree. They came from the same genetic markers,
that.
But they are branching out
mm-hmm.
with their own wings, and they all fit under the autism tree. I've even written a visual. It's not approved by anybody professional but me. I've actually had to prove to people with a tree visual
mm-hmm.
why they all have autism, but they have different
yeah.
branches on what's filled in and
I
eye contact.
That.
And like, and it's not, it, you know, it's. I've seen people do it as a circle with different shapes part in, because it's not a spectrum. It's not linear.
Mm-hmm.
It's you start here with your, you know, your strong roots, with
mm-hmm.
your family, with your birth to three therapists, with your support system, with your school, and as you grow, all those roots are going to change, and all those, and they're all still part of the same group.
We have show notes, and we always put stuff in there.
Mm.
So, and I know you help with people that want to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have a website for that?
I do, indeed.
Okay.
And actually, I'll give you all one of these too while you have it.
Okay.
But yes, that's
yeah.
My
so
card.
We're gonna
you
put.
Can all have
Danielle is handing us her card, so
mm-hmm.
we're gonna put. All this information. Oh, you're a Disney expert.
I worked for Disney for 7 years.
Okay.
And so that comes very natural to me.
Yeah.
Those very special friends with a girl who hang out with a beastly character.
Yeah.
many, many years ago, much thinner, much younger. And I worked there. It was wonderful. It was one of the best memories that I've ever
awesome.
Had. And so it's easy to talk about that now. I actually work with my best friend of 20 years. And the reason why I joined the company was to be able to provide that insight with families. There are people out there that want to go on vacations that it's
mm-hmm.
not the money. I mean, everybody needs money for sure, but
right.
it's like, how in the world would
right.
I do this?
Right.
I'm taking the boys on their first cruise this Christmas for the very first time. And it's funny how the logistics that go into that is
yeah.
a nightmare, or can be, until you have someone like me that can be like, no, this is how you do this. This is how you check into the, you know, the airport. This is what I recommend you bring. This is what I don't recommend you bring.
This is,
and this
really
is how you can do it.
Information.
How
many parents ask me about this type of resources?
Really?
And thank you. Yes.
Yeah. No, this is, and it was funny. I was not in the market for anything new. Like, I wasn't taking on anything new on my plate, as you can imagine. I'm very lucky that I've been able to stay home with my boys.
Right.
As I did, not that I had a choice. Like, they need, with their therapies, with their schools. I mean, even my son comes home at 11:25. You know, from school, preschool right now. But when this came, it just was so like, there's got to be families. It's, again, it's all in the name of helping families. There's got to be families out there that know that even if their kid has a feeding tube, even if their child will not eat a darn thing, guess what? You can bring pretzels on the ship.
Right.
You know, I plan on bringing a whole thing of pretzels because that's all my son will eat. If he doesn't like the shape of French fry, that's
right,
on the boat,
right.
you know? So it's, there's so many, I just want them to know that it exists.
Oh, this is great.
So
we're going to
exciting. Yes, it's
premiercustomtravel.com. In the show notes.
Oh,
and,
that's wonderful. Thank you for that. Again, it's not even for, it's a passion project. This is, I'm happy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you very clear. It does not cost families a thing to use me. It is not. There's no fee for me doing that. I actually had a family go to Disney for the very first time. She booked 3 weeks ago. She's like, I'm going to go to Disney in 3 weeks with my 4-year-old. I've never been. What do I do? I'm like, oh, we have to talk. And I walked her through three weeks worth of, you know, I signed into her account. Let's try to get this dining. Let's try
right,
to go on
right,
this park
right.
to this day. Use this facility. If you have these accommodations, go ahead and try to do this park first because this is a better way to do it. And it's all free. It didn't cost her a dime.
That's awesome.
It doesn't cost her a dime because I get reimbursed through Disney.
So Danielle, this has been amazing. As I mentioned, Jen and I were speaking earlier before you joined us. This is the first of the series in Parent Perspectives.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to do this for the next few months all the way up until, you know, people are in their 60s and we're going to have family members come in and talk about their
experiences.
She's
going to be a tough act to follow.
I know.
You're very kind. I know that I go on my word. I shouldn't say word vomit. But yeah, I know I talk quite a bit, but it's clearly something I'm very passionate about. And I mean, I really need to bring it home that without Birth to Three, my children would not be where they are today. It is just the reality of it. It has set me up for success. I can't imagine how much harder the days would have been if I didn't have Reagan's voice in my head, if I didn't have that reminder that we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And on any given day, we're not. But I always love the saying, too, I have 100% track record for making it through the day. And here we are. We're still here. My kids are still here. We're still doing our best. And I spend the days just trying to make them smile. It doesn't mean they get everything they want. But I look at their life and I'm like, you had a good life today. You smiled today. You felt validated.
That's an awesome way for us to.
And I normally don't even look like this. Yeah. Like, I put on mascara just for you ladies.
Yeah.
Even though no one's going to see it.
Looks beautiful. Yeah. Yes.
No. It's just, every milestone I see them hit, it makes it worth it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I think if we can keep going on that path, I think they're going to have a nice life. And it's our responsibility to take care of them, and I'm going to give them all I got.
That's awesome. I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule.
This was an absolute pleasure. I would talk to you ladies for hours, and I would listen to you too. I don't just talk, I promise.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking we're going to have you back.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
Thinking after we're done with our Parent Perspective series, we're going to have you come back and really talk about going on vacation.
I would love to.
So I think that's
would be honored.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was a beautiful opportunity. Thank you so much for letting me share my boys with you. Thank you. They're funny.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Sarah Inc.'s website. Our podcast is designed to help you find the resources you need for children and adults with intellectual and or developmental disabilities or delays. If you have a topic you want to learn more about, let us know. We would love to hear from you.